What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Last hour, we talked about the Great Illusion. All of the different areas Victor David Hansen highlighted in his piece, all of the different issues and areas that the Biden administration started implementing this hard left agenda. And we are now dealing with the fallout from it in all of these different areas. Went over the foreign policy part of it briefly. I mean, the Israel-Hamas deal, but also there's, you know, Ukraine, Russia. There's China, the border situation. Actually, let's do the border situation real quick, because I mentioned this last hour. Last hour, I mentioned that President Biden said he was looking at another executive order to try to limit southern border crossings. So he did this in an interview with Univision. I believe it's a French outlet. And that speaks Spanish. Wait a minute. Spanish language broadcaster Univision. Anyway, it aired earlier in the week, and he sent a, as Axios called it, a massive signal that he plans to issue an executive order to dramatically limit the number of asylum seekers who can cross the southern border, which I thought was impossible because he doesn't have that authority. As he told us, he needed the bill to pass the House and the Senate, and then it would come to his desk, and as he said, and then everything would be okay. But the Republicans didn't do it, and so now we just have to accept millions and millions more of illegal aliens. Oh, did you hear the news at the top of the hour about the guy who was on the terror watch list, that he got caught, and then they let him go, and he got caught again, and they let him go again, and but don't worry, they got him again. Now, third time's a charm, they've got him. Now, good thing, I guess he was captured in some place other than Mecklenburg County, because if he had some ICE detainer on him, our sheriff would have just let him loose. I can't hold him. I don't cooperate with ICE. Axios reported that they're told there is a fierce debate in the White House about the legality and the politics of a Trump-like lockdown. Now, isn't that interesting, right? That there is a debate about the legality and the politics. Well, why would the politics have anything to do with it? Right? If you think there is a border problem, if you believe that the border is a crisis, right, to the point where you are looking at an executive order to do something, and you thought that the bill in Congress to do the thing that you said had to be done in order to close the border, in order to bring some sense of security back to the border, but the bill didn't pass, and you chastise everybody for not passing it. So that tells me that you think there's a crisis. There's some sort of issue at the border now, which you told us for the last 4 years there was not, but now you say there is. That's why we had to pass the bill, but the bill didn't pass. And so does the crisis go away because the bill didn't pass? Why would the politics of this matter? Well, of course the politics matter. I'm being facetious here, because that's all that matters. The legality doesn't matter. We know that the legality doesn't matter. They're not arguing. They're not examining the legality of this. How silly. Do you think this administration gives a flying fig Newton about the legality of an executive order? These are the people that have wiped away student loan debt, right? These are the people that, like, they pass stuff that flies in the face of Supreme Court rulings and admonitions and such. So please, again, don't whiz on my boots and tell me it's raining. Biden, briefed on polls of rising voter anger, wants a dramatic step, though. The provision that Biden is eyeing would restrict the ability of immigrants to claim asylum and does not require congressional approval, which I'm as shocked as you are to learn that such a thing even exists. I didn't know that he could write an executive order that did this thing because he said he couldn't do it. But maybe it's like the thing that Obama said he couldn't do, and then he turned around and did anyway. Maybe it's also like the student loan forgiveness deal. Biden wants to use, maybe, Section 212F. This is what Trump used as well. But when the orange man did it, it was bad. It was racist, xenophobic, right? But if Joe does it, that's just because, you know, he's a forward-looking visionary leader. Tom Bentzman is a senior national security fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, or CIS. They put out a report, and it says, the Department of Homeland Security secretly has okayed the flights of some 33,000 illegal immigrants directly to New York from foreign airports. That is 22% of the city's migrant influx, right? The Department of Homeland Security, under President Joe Biden, implemented a program allowing certain inadmissible aliens to fly directly into the United States from abroad. We talked about this program a couple of days ago. Why? To juice the stats. This is not an O.J. Simpson reference. No, juicing the stats, right? He's corrupting the data. That's the purpose, is to corrupt the data. Why? Well, if you're flying somebody directly from Caracas right into Mexico, or right into America, I should say, or you're flying somebody from Mexico directly into Miami, they are now not a border crosser. They're not getting caught at the border. ICE and Border Patrol is not encountering them. They're not entering that asylum seeker into the database at the border crossing. So it's a way to juice the stats, to mask the true nature of the problem. It's an end run around border statistics for illegal entry. AP Dillon, our friend over at North State Journal, but you can also read her reporting she's got at More to the Story. It's a Substack, but she has free content. You can go there, substack.com. AP Dillon, it's called More to the Story. She says, immigration is not just a national hot-button issue. It's also not a new issue, especially in the last 6 years here in North Carolina. During the second term of the Obama administration, illegal immigration was a national issue, right? You had cities and states declaring themselves as sanctuaries. In 2015, former North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory signed a bill into law that required employers to use E-Verify and restricted what could be used as official ID by illegal immigrants and did not include consular documents as an acceptable form of ID, and it banned adoption of sanctuary city ordinances. The Protect North Carolina Workers Act passed both of the chambers, and no House Democrats voted in favor, except one. One Democrat senator. And I had totally forgotten this. Do you know who that one Democrat senator was? See, if I was a true radio professional, I wouldn't tell you. I would tease and then go to break and then make you, you know, come back and find out. But see, I will tell you right now because I'm a giver. Josh Stein. Josh Stein was the one state senator that voted for the Protect NC Workers Act. You know why? Alrighty, so a couple years ago, 2015, Governor Pat McCrory signs a bill requiring employers to use E-Verify, did some other stuff. The Protect NC Workers Act passed both chambers. Only one Democrat voted for it in the state Senate, and that was Josh Stein. Why? Why did Stein vote for it? Well, he was running for attorney general. And you can't very well run for the top cop post in a state like North Carolina and not sign on to this kind of a bill, which took effect in October 2015, but certain cities and counties have basically ignored it. AP Dillon, writing at More to the Story, her Substack publication, per the Center for Immigration Studies data in North Carolina, six counties have been considered sanctuary jurisdictions for refusing to cooperate with ICE or ordinances shielding illegal immigrants in some manner. Those six counties are Buncombe, Durham, Forsyth, Orange, Wake, and yes, Mecklenburg County. In 2019, Pat McCrory shamed Governor Roy Cooper and city officials on this here radio station following a press release that was issued by ICE about how Mecklenburg Sheriff Gary Not My Fault McFadden did not inform ICE of an arrest of a guy who was accused of raping a child, and it did not honor the ICE detainer on that guy, Oscar Pacheco Leonardo, a 33-year-old Honduran national, who you'll recall illegally reentered the U.S. after being previously deported. He was charged with first-degree rape, 2 counts of indecent liberties with a child. And then remember, he had the big standoff. It fueled the push for House Bill 370, which was to require cooperation with ICE detainers. It failed. Roy Cooper vetoed it. The Republicans were not able to override that veto. Next session comes around. Lawmakers try to push through Senate Bill 101, require cooperation with ICE 2.0. And Cooper vetoed that one as well. So you're going to hear Josh Stein running now for Attorney General. And he's going to make the argument that he should be trusted to, faithfully execute all of the laws that are on the books. Because I guess he voted for this one bill, 10 years ago, while state senator, the only Democrat to do that, which was the E-Verify bill. But what about on the ICE detainers? What about on that? Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, impeached by the House. He made an appearance at a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing the other day. And Senator John Kennedy had some questions for him. I've got the audio. We'll take a listen to that. I want to give you some of the breaking news right now, though. What happened to it? Did I lose it? Oh, I lost the... hang on a second. I may have lost the list here. Okay, here's the list. I was going to pull up the list here because the Biggs Amendment to the FISA reauthorization bill, which would have basically said you have to have a warrant if you're going to do these, quote, queries or searches on American citizens under FISA. And this is, basically trying to apply the same exemption that Congress members have under this law to us. Schlubs, us regular old citizens. And so here are the 86 Republicans voted against this amendment. I'm looking at the list here and I see, Dan Crenshaw. I saw Patrick McHenry. I saw David Rouser from North Carolina. Steve Scalise is on there. Stefanik is on there. I don't see Gallagher. No, I don't see any other member of Congress from North Carolina. Yeah, that's it. McHenry and Rouser on the list of the 86 Republicans who support Biden's DOJ spying on American citizens, basically. Russ says, Dan Crenshaw for me is one of the greatest disappointments in recent memory. The gap between his initial campaign and how he has turned out has been huge. Yeah. All right. John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy, not related to the Kennedy family of Massachusetts. He has some questions for Alejandro Mayorkas regarding immigration crisis at the border. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us.
You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
All right, let me get to this audio. This is Senator John Kennedy. He is questioning the impeached Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, which, by the way, the Senate, the Democrats in the Senate, may be trying to, what the indication is, and this is what Kennedy, you'll hear him reference this, they are apparently trying to keep the impeachment vote from occurring in the Senate. They're going to try to block this thing, which would, according to Kennedy, be in complete contradiction to 200 plus years of precedent. So here he is talking with Alejandro Mayorkas.
The chairman's immigration bill was negotiated by two members of my party, Senator Lankford and Senator McConnell. And I don't speak for either one. They're both good men. The chairman said that the Republicans who negotiated his bill trusted you and wanted you there. And I'm not doubting his word. It gives me no joy to say this, but most Republicans don't trust you. And a vast majority of the American people don't trust you.
True. True, true.
That's why you've been impeached. Now, my Democratic colleagues are going to try to sweep your impeachment under the rug and violate 200 years of Senate precedent in doing it. I don't think that they will be able to sweep the issue, maybe your impeachment, but not the issue, under a rug as big as the United States of America. Again, it gives me no joy in saying this. I think well more than a majority of the American people think that as a result of your behavior and President Biden's behavior, our southern border is an open, bleeding wound. I think they believe that our southern border is chaotic. I think a vast majority of the American people believe that a lot of it is political. I think a vast majority of the American people believe that it is chaotic by design.
True.
And that all of this is intentional. And I think while a vast majority of the American people who don't trust you believe in legal immigration, they don't believe in illegal immigration.
True.
And they think you do. And they think President Biden does.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that's why the border is open. And they think that your attitude and President Biden's attitude is that while they may be poorer under President Biden, that they're stupid enough to believe you and the president when you say that it's not your problem. I think that needed to be said. Isn't it a fact, Mr. Secretary, that the number of illegal immigrants that you and the president allow into our country counts for congressional district reapportionment?
Senator, I'm not sure I understand your question, but I can surely share with you that I disagree with its phrasing.
Isn't it true Mr. Secretary, that the number of illegal immigrants that you and President Biden have allowed into our country counts for allocating electoral votes?
See, so he's objecting to the phrasing, I guess, because he wants to say that, like, we're not allowing these people into the country, I guess. But what Kennedy is getting at here is what we've been talking about for, like, over a year. The census counts. Reapportionment. That's what he's talking about. That's what Kennedy is referencing. The allocation of congressional districts is based on number of residents in particular states and areas. That determines how many members of Congress you have, but it also determines how many electoral college votes you get, because the electoral college votes are determined by the number of congressional seats.
Same answer.
Okay. You don't know?
I don't understand your question.
Never crossed your mind?
The notion, Senator, that we intend to allow illegal immigration is nothing short of preposterous.
So you do understand my question.
And if I may, it is disrespectful to the extraordinarily hard work that we perform, and far more importantly, that the personnel in the Department of Homeland Security and across this administration perform to stem illegal immigration, build lawful, safe, and orderly pathways, and invest in a working system. And we only wish that that bipartisan legislation, about which I have not heard a critical term,
Mr. Secretary, you're using up my time. You do this every single time. You do this every single time. And it's a fact, and you know it, and I know it, that the more people you allow into our country illegally, the more people are counted for reapportionment. And the more people that you allow into our country illegally, the more people are counted for allocating electoral votes. Now, maybe that's a coincidence, but that's a fact. And you know that. And you've done nothing for 4 years. Nada. Zero.
Absolutely false.
Zilch. And in fact, the only people I know in this country who are better off today than they were 4 years ago are illegal immigrants. And that's as a result of your policy. I don't hate you for it. I don't hate anyone. But that's why you've been impeached. And my colleagues may try to cover it up. They're going to try to cover it up. But they can't cover up the facts.
Yeah, but they could try. Biggs' amendment on that FISA bill, it failed on a tie vote. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson voted, and usually a speaker doesn't vote. 212 to 212. That would have made the DOJ get warrants before they queried or searched the, you know, American citizens that get scooped up in their investigations. And so that amendment failed. And then the underlying bill, the reauthorization of FISA, that then passed 273 to 147. According to Daniel Battaglia from McClatchy News Service, Congress people Dan Bishop, Valerie Fushi, Democrat, and Virginia Fox, Republican, all voted against reauthorization. All of the other members of Congress from North Carolina all voted for it. It now heads to the Senate. Let's see what else here. Remember that whole Latinx thing, Latinx? I never really knew how to pronounce it. And apparently, like, a lot of Spanish-speaking people did not know how to pronounce it either, because the X is not really a good letter in their alphabet. It doesn't. Yeah. So anyway, so it didn't really serve the purpose that the awfuls wanted it to, the awfuls being the affluent white female liberals. So they've come up with a new term. You ready? Latine. Or, okay, I don't know. It might be Latine, like anime. So instead of the X after Latin, they're putting an E after it. So Latine, Latine, Latine. I don't know. There's no pronunciation guide afforded to me. It's just Axios telling me that Latine is now getting pitched out there. It's a gender-neutral way to describe or refer to people with Latino origins. What? What are you guys doing? What are you doing here? Right there, like, right there in the first, sentence, halfway through the first sentence, you're dead naming, right? Latine or Latine, whatever. A gender-neutral way to describe or refer to people with Latino origins. You just said Latino. What are you doing? It's Latinx. Like, that's the way you should say that. Latine is the new way to say Latinx. And get this. Latine or Latine or Latine. It is surging. Ooh, it's surging in popularity on university campuses, as well as, where else? Museums, and among researchers and the media. Whoa. All right, so white leftist bougies. Yeah, exactly. That's where this is. I am as shocked as you are, once again. Catch-all terms like Hispanic or Latino have come under scrutiny for blurring important nuances. And Latine is going to do the trick now? What does Latine do that Hispanic doesn't?
Well, Pete, that's rooted in Hispaniola and blah, blah, blah.
Really? Like, I don't even know what the point of this even is anymore. Well, I do. Because the issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution, right? Think about this. You got a bunch of leftists that are trying to tell the Spanish-speaking world that their language is sexist and needs to be changed, that they need to stop talking the way they've talked. They need to adopt different language, or else, I don't know. I am actually unclear as to what the penalty is here if they don't comply. Latina is, quote, part of a movement centered on wanting to build and foster an inclusive community, said Carlos Zavala. Sorry, wouldn't that be Zavale? Or Zavali with an E, not an A. Carlos is the vice president at consulting firm Whiteboard Advice. Really? Whiteboard? Why has it got to be a whiteboard? 41% of U.S. Latinos in the latest Axios Ipsos Latino poll. You just did it again. What are you guys doing here? Dead naming. Oh, my gosh. So 41% of Latines say that they are comfortable with Latine. The increased use of Latine comes as Latinx has been phased out by some organizations or outright banned by officials. Latinx has been pushed by U.S. academics as a gender-neutral option for Latine. No, you did it again. Wait, you guys are some racist people over there. Axios.com. But these academics were criticized for using the letter X in a manner that is unnatural to Spanish speakers. That's actually what made it the most hilarious part, right, of the entire adoption of the word, which was that you chose a word and you stuck an X at the end of it, which is nowhere else in the Spanish language. Like, Spanish-speaking people look at that and like, what is this X doing here? And nobody knew how to pronounce it. Is it Latinx? Is it Latinx? Latinx? What? Many plural nouns use the masculine form as a default in the Spanish language. For example, los niños. That's a plural. But you're saying niños. See, so the plural is like saying, hey, you guys. And people getting offended because we're not guys. We're guys and gals. So how dare you say guys? So instead of saying Los Niños, you're going to say Los Nines, N-I-N-E-S, or Niñez, Niñez, I don't know. To better accommodate diverse genders, of course, some Spanish and Portuguese speakers are increasingly using the E suffix for some nouns, like todes instead of todos, both of which mean everyone. So todos amigos is all of my friends, including the amigas. But you can't say that anymore. Now it's going to be amigas, amigues, amigs. It's going to be very difficult.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.